Okay, I think the kiddos are gone. Okay, Brother Larry, Mike, would you go ahead and pass out what you got? Psalm 12 is the promise in the Bible. Not working? How about this one? Okay. Psalms 12 is a promise in the Bible on how God inspired a book and then preserved it perfectly for today. We'll see. Try to limit how many. You got one per family on these handouts. If you brought coloring crayons, you might be able to color. I better get me one, so I see what I'm doing. Okay, I've done a thorough study on the Bible, and I realize now that this is a Jehovah's Witness Bible, New World Translation. This is a New American Standard. This is the NIV. This is the New Jerusalem Bible. It's approved by the Catholic Church. So I've come to the realization that these are all the same as the King James Bible. April Fool's. It's April Fool's Day. Okay, so I'm going to go with the Word of God. Psalms 12 is the promise in the Bible that God has promised that He's going to preserve His words without error forever. Isn't that a great promise? Psalms 12, verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The "them" of verse 7 is the words of verse 6. God is an infinite wisdom, inspired a book, and then wisely preserved it. Okay, where any king on any island who would preserve inspired laws would use his power to preserve them. But the sad fact of the matter is that the vast majority of Christian colleges do not believe that. There's an unwritten rule. There's an unwritten rule of the Christian colleges. You say, which ones? 99% of them. I can start naming them, but it doesn't really matter. The unwritten rule of the Christian colleges is that there is no perfect Bible you can get in your hands. That is the rule, the written rule. I've been to two Christian colleges. Okay, been through two of them, 5 years of training, realized they didn't teach me the book. If you would, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The real issue in Christianity right now is that there is no perfect Bible that is available today. That is what's being told. That's what's being promoted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And then if you go backwards two chapters, to chapter 2, verse 17, the last verse of 2 Corinthians 2:17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Okay, so everybody have one available that you can take a gander at. Now, I happen to give you a little advantage over the folks in Rensselaer's. I circled the places. I forgot to do that in Rensselaer, where we're going to be looking. Okay, now here's a sad fact of life in the Christian world. In the Christian school that we have here, I've been teaching 7 steps to learn the Bible to the young people there. I had an assignment in class that each of the students had to write 2 Christian colleges, and they had to ask 7 questions. I gave them the questions. Okay, probably I had too many questions, but yet the questions really, I didn't think they were going to answer. The questions were, "Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Is the Bible preserved without error for today? Which translation to use? Is that translation inspired? Can a translation be inspired?" I forgot question 6. Question 7 was, who or what is Leviathan of Job 41? That was sent out to approximately 24 schools, over 20 schools. Okay? We got one reply in 2 months. Brian Donovan answered out of Pensacola Bible Institute. Not Pensacola Christian College. They did not answer, would not answer. Now, I knew the questions would tie the rag in the bush. That these people, the rule is that you don't have any perfect Bible. Now, if all us Bible believers, the King James Bible believers, came out and admitted, okay, we have done our homework, we have studied, you scholars are right, the King James Bible has a bunch of errors in it, they would say, finally, you see it. Then we'd turn around and say, well, by chance, we believe the NIV is a perfect word of God without error. Then they'd say, you idiot. The rule is that there is no perfect Bible that you can get in your hands today. That's the bottom line issue. And Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7 says that there is. Okay, now let's use a little common sense here. Matthew 24, verse 24, it says that there are many Christs. Is it not true that the Lord Jesus Christ is being counterfeited? Yes, it is true. There are many Christs. The Bible says that. Many Christs. In the Bible, 7 times it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh. The word Word there is an uppercase W. You'll find that 7 times in the Bible where Jesus Christ is called the Word of God, uppercase W. That means flesh and blood Word of God. Lowercase W is pen and ink Word of God, or ink and paper Word of God. Okay, this right here, Word of God, lowercase w, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he showed up, uppercase W, Word of God, flesh and blood. That's found 7 times in the Bible. Now, if you ask these men, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect and holy today? Our resounding answer would be, amen, and yes, that's true, right? So if there's a flesh and blood, perfect whole of God, holy Word of God today, uppercase W, then why would there not be a lowercase w Word of God? I asked that question to Kirk Cameron when he called me on the phone a few years back, and his answer was, And I said, call me back if you want to talk more about it. And he said he was going to, but he never did. Okay, that's the question that ties a rag in the bush. Psalms 12, to me, is a great promise. God, in his infinite wisdom, inspired a book and then has preserved it perfectly without error. Now, what we can do is we can show about some books that has Holy Bible. I don't have all of them. I only have 4. I only picked 4. Thank God I didn't pay a penny for any of these. I usually traded somebody with a pure Bible with a fake. Okay, but if I had all of the English translations since 1880, the stack would go to the ceiling probably. There's over 200. The Reader's Digest Bible didn't last but about 2 weeks back in the 70s. It was so fake, people knew it was fake. Okay, what are these? These are satanic Bibles. Now, when I say satanic Bible, I'm not talking about Anton LaVey's Bible. I'm talking about those right there. Okay, let's give you the proof of that. The proof of that, in Jeremiah 23, verse 36, Jeremiah said in the Old Testament that ye have perverted the words of the living God. Somebody back in the Old Testament was perverting the words of the living God. Today we know that to be called the Talmud. If you want to find a copy of the Talmud, you go up to Valpo Library, the library at Valpo University. They have a section in the library of about 20, 21 volumes in there where this is the Talmud. This is the rabbis commenting on the Bible. Do you remember when Jesus would say, ye have heard it was said, but I say unto you, when he said, when ye have heard it was said, he was quoting from the Talmud, but then when he said, and I say unto you, he's quoting from the Bible. The Talmud would be the counterfeit. You want to see how bad the Talmud is? A rabbi writes in there on a couple occasions, when can you marry a girl? 3 years and 1 day old. That's in the Talmud. That's perverts. Like Jeremiah said, ye have perverted the words of the living God. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So under the Old Testament, we know it's the Talmud. In the New Testament, what is it in the New Testament? What is the perversions in the New Testament, the counterfeits in the New Testament? Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to start in an area of agreement. Who would agree? Catholic scholars and Protestant scholars would agree that the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses is a corrupt Bible. So we're going to start there. Okay, this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses would carry with them as they go door to door. And I have talked to many of them. Now, when somebody messes with the Bible, okay, what you do, the way you can deceive somebody with the Bible is you add a word, subtract a word, or change a word. That's how you do it. Or if you want to go full force, rewrite the Bible. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done. We obviously know they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They can't get all of them, but they missed a few of them, and I like to show it to them. And it's a great blessing to show it from their Bible. What you're doing is you're taking the sword, well, the butter knife out of their hand, and then, you know, splashing around with it and all that stuff. Okay, so this Jehovah's Witness Bible. Now, on your handout, I've shown there are, in the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Now, what is a satanic translation? You remember the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke chapter 4. Jesus was tempted 3 times by Satan. On the third temptation in Luke chapter 4, when the temptation is laid out chronologically there, I think it's the second one in Matthew 4, Satan says, "It is written." Do you remember Satan says that? What does he do? He removes 4 words from the text of Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. That's a satanic translation. He didn't take as many as out as the NIV took out. Now, the New World Translation, okay, on your handout, we'll run down through this. So we're going to take it a point of agreement. The Catholics would say, yes, this is a perverted Bible. The Protestants would say, yes, this is a corrupt Bible. Why is it corrupt? In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, you'll see it circled right there. 21, slash, it's gone. Matthew 18, verse 11, slash, it's gone. Matthew 23, verse 14, slash, it's gone. Why are those Bibles easier to reading? Less words. You have just memorized 3 verses out of the New World Translation. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, page 2. Acts 8, verse 37, the great story of the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip asked the Ethiopian, "What do you believe?" He said, "I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God." Gone. The Jehovah's Witnesses put a slash. You've memorized the verse. Why do they do that? Across the page, John chapter 7, verse 53 through John chapter 8, verse 11. That entire section, you see the Jehovah's Witnesses will start John chapter 8 with verse 12. See that? Verse 12. They skip 1 through 11. They put it down in the footnote. And then it says up there by the manuscript, if you can see that fine print there, you see where it says manuscripts, the letter B and the letter SY. Those are abbreviations for 2 manuscripts that's their favorites called Vaticanus Sinaiticus. Now, I won't charge you for those. That's a freebie. Okay? Those are supposed to be the 2 favorite. There are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts. The vast majority of them agree with the King James Bible. 2 Vaticanus Sinaiticus do not. Those are the favorite of Moody Bible Institute, Cedarville College, Wheaton College, Biola University, Philadelphia College, Dallas Theological, Philadelphia College, so forth. Pensacola Christian School. That's why they do that. They take it out because those manuscripts take them out. That's John chapter 8, verse 11. 1 through 11, 11 verses there, plus the last verse of chapter 7. So the cat's been let out of the bag. We know what they're doing. Okay, if you flip it over and look at the side. If you've read your Bible once, you've read it, you know the story of David and Goliath. David killed Goliath. I don't think he was nervous at all, because it would be like a guy bringing a knife to a gunfight. A guy comes to you with a knife, and you get a gun, pow, 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 you're dead. I mean, that's what David did. He used a sling. Okay, and so we know that David killed Goliath, but in the New World Translation, lo and behold, a fellow named Elhanah killed Goliath. 2 Samuel 21:19, I have it circled right there. Elhanah kills Goliath. Now, either the Philistines have a great medical team where they went and got the head after David cut it off and reattached it, or Goliath was a cat in some way where he got second life. David kills him, so does Elhanah. Ain't that something? Now, that's expected from a New World Translation, is it not? If you turn over the page 3, okay, I don't have them numbered. In Mark chapter 1, verse 2, it says, as it is written, just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Then it says the word look. Look in the margins where that's found. Malachi 3, verse 1. Why did they say Isaiah? The King James Bible says, as it is written in the prophets, because there's two men quoted, Malachi and Isaiah. But the New World Translation, that must have been translated on a Monday morning after a hangover from Sunday night. And in their marginal note, it says Malachi 3:1, but in the text, it says Isaiah. That ums beums a bald-faced lie. Okay, then across the page, 1 John 5:7, the greatest verse in the Bible on the Godhead, or the modern word Trinity. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Jehovah's Witnesses don't like the idea of the Trinity. So 1 John 5:7, what do they do? How do they handle that verse? For there are three witness bearers. Skip the rest. Expected from a Jehovah's Witness, right? You flip the page over, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 is the greatest verse in the Bible, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says that God is manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, greatest verse on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring Him. It says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. How do the Jehovah's Witnesses handle that idea that Jesus Christ is God? Oh, they don't want to, hot potato, get rid of that one. How do they handle it? He was manifest in the flesh. He? Who's that? You don't know. Now you can take the Jehovah's Witnesses in Revelation 1:8 and show them that Jehovah God says something. I'm beginning in says Jehovah God. And then Revelation 22:13 says, I am the beginning and the end. And I ask them, who's that? And then verse 16 says, I, Jesus. Oh, they have a conniption fit when you show them that one. Page 4. So obviously we know the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Catholics would agree Jehovah's Witness is bad. I mean, corrupt Bible. I mean, oh man, that's bad. Even they got that one right. So let's go to our Catholic Bible. It's got the nice little crossy there. It's interesting, the Catholic Bible, it's called a New Jerusalem Bible. You'll see there that it has the Neil Abstat. That means a bishop, cardinal, pope, priest read it and said, it's okay, you can read it. Look where it was published. Coincidence? 666 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York. That's interesting. Let's see how they handle Matthew 17:21. They surely don't want to be corrupt like the Jehovah's Witnesses. If you run down to the side of Matthew 17, or on the right side, you'll see the numbering. And again, they must have did this on a Monday morning. Or late Friday night where they were hurrying, trying to get to the early Mass, the high Mass, the low Mass. They go 18, 19, 20, 22, 23. Hold the phone. What, can't you count? They skip 21. It's gone. Turn it over. Matthew 18, verse 11. Gone. Matthew 23, 14. Gone. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. We have a twin. We have a twin. Acts 8, 37. Gone. Bye-bye. Mark 1, verse 2. Obviously, they're not going to make the mistake that the Jehovah's Witnesses made, but they did. Isaiah the prophet. No, even in the cross-reference, they got it Malachi. But the cross-references aren't inspired. Page next. How are they going to do in the Godhead? The Catholic Church believes in the Trinity. They believe in the Trinity. 1 John 5:7. They fell in line with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Right in line with them. Do they know who killed Goliath? Next page, or up top right. Do they know who killed Goliath? David and Elhanah. The King James Bible says Elhanah killed the brother of Goliath. Two different people. How do they handle the Godhead? Obviously, they believe Jesus Christ is God. 1 Timothy 3:16, he was made viable in the flesh. We have a fraternal twin. Now let's go with the most popular one in our contemporary churches. You say, you don't have much respect for these people. Not at all. I got more respect for the mafia. You say, how can you believe like that? You want to hear what these people say about Jesus Christ in the Bible? Go to the schools and listen to them. They mock the Word of God. They openly make fun of it. So I make fun of them. Matthew 17:21. Are they going to be like the Jehovah Witness Bible? Look at what they did. They put in a footnote. They just play cat and mouse with it. It's down in a footnote, matching the Jehovah Witness. Matthew 18:11, down in a footnote. NIV. Bible Society, International Bible Society, Colorado Springs, Colorado. How do they handle Matthew 23:14? Down in the footnote. How do they handle Acts 8, verse 37, Ethiopian eunuch? I didn't get a quite good copy down there, but it's down in the footnote. Next page. Now this is a new one here on this page. You'll see Mark 16 and John 8 right there, side by side, parallel. Okay, you see the comment that they put there? The comment is, the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. And the same over there in John 8. They don't tell you that that's the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Two. They pick two out of 5,000. Two. Those two manuscripts, if they are the best, they should agree with each other. They disagree with each other 3,000 times in the Gospels. Those two manuscripts, one of them was found in a garbage can in Mount Sinai Monastery, St. Catherine's Monastery. Too bad they didn't burn it. And the other one is lock and key in the Vatican Library, found in 1481 in the library. Okay, that's where they're found. They have the Apocrypha dispersed within the Old Testament. That's why they do what they did. Okay, how does the NIV handle the God, the Trinity? 1 John 5, 7, there are three that testify, but they don't tell you who it is. It's gone. Turn the page over. Let's see if they get Goliath right. And Elhanah, let's see if they get Elhanah killing Goliath's brother. Nope, they missed that one too. Elhanah kills Goliath. Let's see if they get Mark right. Mark 1, verse 2. It is written in Isaiah the prophet. Sorry, you messed it again. You see, when a man messes with the Bible, God messes with his brain. Why do they make all these changes? It's the same manuscripts, the Vaticanus Sinaiticus. How do they handle the deity of Jesus Christ? 1 Timothy 3:16. He appeared in a body. Who's that? The newer, updated NIV might say she. They are working on that. And there was quite an outrage. Even the NIVers say that's too far. But you mark it down. International Bible Society has already got it printed. Just waiting. Mark it down. Okay, so let's put the NIV in its recycled bin and help our green movement at the same time. Now we are going to move you up intellectually. This is the preferable one of the scholars. The New American Standard Bible. Not version, Bible. This is what Moody Bible Institute would promote. This is the closest to originals. I talked to an assistant pastor down in Rensselaer. He is assistant in a church outside of Rensselaer, Burr Oak Mennonite Church. And he went to John MacArthur's master's college. And he was a New American Standard guy. He made fun of the NIV, and I showed him that this is a twin of this. I never heard that before. You see? And he said, they kept attacking my book. They kept attacking my book. He walked in Master's College believing the Word of God was in his hands. He walked out believing nothing. And that is happening all across this country. So let's see what the NASB does with these. I have NASB, North African Satanic Version. Oh, that'd be a better acronym for that. Let's see how they handle those same places. Matthew 17:21. Oh, isn't that wonderful? They left it in the text. Italicized with brackets around it. What's that mean? It's not supposed to be there. Matthew 18:11. They left it in the text. With brackets around it, not supposed to be there. Matthew 23:14. Left it in a text. I can do this with 16 verses from Matthew and Romans. I've only picked 4. They hit all 16 right on the head. We turn it sideways and we see, what did they do with Acts 8:37? Oh, they put brackets around it. Many manuscripts, footnote says, do not contain this verse. Well, if it didn't, then don't put it in there. Page next. Mark chapter 16. In their footnotes, some of the oldest manuscripts do not contain 9 through 20. I've already named those Vaticanus Sinaiticus. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. He who was revealed in the flesh, God has taken out. He who, that's not even good English, and I'm not a good English teacher. He who. I mean, anybody teaches English knows that's not good grammar. It's not good grammar, not good grammar. 1 John 5:7, they take God, the Trinity out. Does the same thing as the NIV. Who gets the glory out of these things? Who's behind it? Okay, the next page. Shocking truth. I was talking to one of these fellas, and a pastor down in Rensselaer, Iroquois Valley Christian Church. We talked 5 hours about this subject. 3 hours the first time, 2 hours the second. I had a tape recorder in front of him. I heard him say over and over, I've never heard this before. I never heard this before. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with that. And then he got to the point where he says, are you telling me I'm speaking of the devil? I said, well, you said it and I didn't. And then he kept saying, I wrestle with this. I wrestle with this. And he was kind of a heavy set guy. I thought he was a sumo wrestler after he kept saying that. And I said, I hope it's not 2 Peter 3:16. He said, what's that one say? I said, you wrestle with the scriptures to your own destruction? And he goes, I hope so too. I talked to that. I was gentle, very gentle with him, because it was he and I, one-on-one, 3 hours. And then 2 weeks later, he called me and said, I'd like to talk to you again. So talk for 2 hours. He said, I don't care what you say. I'm sick with the NIV. And then he said, I want to talk to you about, you know, baptism, water baptism. I said, don't waste my time. You're your own authority. See ya. I'm not going to debate with him about doctrine. Why? He's his own authority. And I told him that. I said, you know what you think? I said, you think that only you can teach the Bible because only you know Greek. Right? 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 And he says, yeah, that's true. I said, I don't believe that. I believe anybody that's got 6th grade English reading level, got a King James Bible, can learn the Word of God. Amen. He thought the world revolved around him. And that's a shocking thing. Why? Because that's what he was taught. And I'll be honest with you, I was taught that for 2 years until I left Grace College. And I know how it feels when you get to wonder about the book in your hands. And I got to the point where I thought, if that book isn't the Word of God, I am wasting my time. But it didn't stop me, because then I started writing questions, writing people and asking questions, and start doing the research. And this is the conclusion I came up to. Isaiah 14:12, an amazing thing. It says in the King James Bible, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is the only time the word Lucifer is found in the Bible. O Lucifer. Anybody knows who Lucifer is, right? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan? And Satan says, I will be like the Most High. So you'll find the greatest counterfeit of Jesus Christ will be the devil incarnate. And the Most High has a Bible, so guess who's going to have a Bible? And it's not Anton LaVey's satanic Bible. Who's going to have a Bible? Isaiah 14:12. The only time the word Lucifer is found in the Bible and in the New Jerusalem Bible, I didn't even take time with the Jehovah Witness. It says this, Isaiah 14:12. How did you come to fall from the heavens, Daystar, son of dawn? Who's Daystar? Get your Bible and look at it. 2 Peter 1:19. The Daystar is Jesus Christ. These people took Lucifer out and put Daystar in. What are they implying? One of two things. That Lucifer is Jesus Christ, or that Jesus Christ is falling into hell. Who gets glory out of that? Don't you think the devil got a kick out of that one? Is this why the Freemasons think that Lucifer is the god of light and Adonai is the god of darkness? Probably. It's led that way. How did the NIV handle that one? NIV, right in the center column, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. If you look in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, the bright and morning star. Who gets glory out of that? How did the closest to the original's translation handle that? NIV, NASV? Isaiah 14:12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. Oh, that was an intellectual way of saying morning star. That's about like saying, you know, three blind mice and said intellectually, a trio of sightless rodents. What are they saying? They're implying that the Lord Jesus Christ is either one of two things. They're saying that Lucifer is Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ is falling into sin. Now who gets glory out of that? In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, all these versions take the phrase every word of God out. Man shall not live by bread alone, so you got to put a hamburger on there somewhere. And in Luke 4 verse 8, when Jesus Christ said to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan, all the new Bibles take that out, so there's no rebuke of Satan in Luke 4, 8. And plus, if you study prayer and fasting, which Jesus said, this kind comes but by prayer and fasting, all removed. Why? Because Satan realizes the power that you and I can have when we have a sword in our hand. You know how you destroy an army? You break the communication lines between the soldier, the foot soldier, and the generals. You break that communication line and confusion results. How do you destroy the Christian soldier, the onward Christian soldier? You know how you destroy that? You break the communication line. There's no word of God. Oh, but you know what's tripped up the fundamentalist? The New King James. Back page. Title page, New King James. Who would lead them to put an insignia on the title page of the New King James that is 666? See that insignia there? Under the Old and New Testaments, above the New King James, that is the New Age way of writing 666. And we're seeing 666 everywhere you go, if you know what you're looking for. It's everywhere. The monster drink, the three letters, is 666 in Hebrew. The www on your internet, the three letters, www, that's the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that's 666. Our UPC symbols, two lines in the front, two lines in the middle, two lines at the end, those are three sixes. It's everywhere. You'll see it in corporate logos. 666 in corporate around. You'll see it in Disney Company in the Disney word. Three sixes will be encompassed in the word Disney. It's everywhere. The New King James is the one that's tripping up the fundamentalists. Why? They never believed the Word of God anyway. These men lost their faith. One last place, if you would, look at Malachi. Okay, if you got a King James Bible and you haven't read it this past week, what makes you different?
Well, at least I'm not reading the right one. At least the right one's collecting dust on my table.
What difference does it make? Malachi, last, it's interesting, Malachi. You want to see how God feels about this? People think, you know, man, you're kind of sarcastic. You're kind of hard this morning. I was tame compared to God. You know what God would do with these men? Look at Malachi 2, verse 3. I don't think the new Bibles update this word. I did ask a guy in jail one time what the updated word for that dung is. He told me, I said, you're right. Malachi 2, verse 3. This is what God says to the priests of the Old Testament who were teaching from the Talmud. He said, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. Even the dung of your solemn feast. That'd be a nice way of saying, here's mud in your eye. You know? I was tame compared to the God of the Bible. Now if we go backward to Malachi 1, verse 6. Malachi 1, verse 6, it says this. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. You talk to the average person carrying these Bibles, you say, you despise God's name. They would say, no, we don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Well, the name of Jesus is above every name. Yeah, but this book says that God has magnified his word above his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. And in the New Testament, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. We're supposed to glorify God's words. The final authority in this church is definitely not me. Don't waste your time. The final authority in this church is this blessed book. This old King James Bible is the final authority. That's what we rally around, and we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ from this old blessed book. Now, can these folks get saved with the NIV? Of course you can get somebody saved using that. Okay, but the doctrine is going to be all messed up if they stick with it. Rather confused. Malachi 1 verse 6, it says, O priest, ye have despised my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, ye offered polluted bread. What's bread a picture of? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The bread is a picture of the paper and ink word of God. It is also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh and blood word of God, because he says in John, I am the bread of life. Man, they are synonymous. And he says, ye have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? How? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. A man can have a King James Bible in his house, but if he's lackadaisical in it, and he's complacent, so what? What difference does it make? Proof in point. When you see two Mormon boys ride a little bicycle along and they come and talk to you, you know what Bible they're going to pull out of their bag? A King James Bible. And they'll say, and you say, is that book the Word of God? As it's translated correctly. Who determines that? Come on, say it. Who determines that? You elder that looks like you're 20 years old. Claim you're a Jew and you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, go kid somebody else. You know? I mean, it's just a phenomenal thing. As it's translated correctly, they don't believe that book. They don't believe the Book of Moron. I mean, it's just amazing. Okay, we know we got a perfect Bible. Is it your final authority? Are you adamantly studying that book? Do you love that book? Can you leave that book set around for 2-3 days without picking it up? Why don't you join the NIV crowd? At least you get to rock and roll in church. I mean, come on. Oh, I am so happy that God showed this to me. Because I know how it feels when somebody took my faith away from me in that Bible. And I know how it feels when I got it back. I wrote that college president over at Grace College. He was my professor. And I asked that guy, I said, why did you advise us to read a Bible, but not to read a King James Bible? And that smart aleck wrote back, asked two stupid questions. I wrote him the answers back and said, try again, pal. You dirty lowlife. I got more respect for the mafia. I mean, at least the mafia killed their own. Where these people take advantage of young people coming in schools, taking their faith. And I had memorized a lot of Bible growing up. I memorized King James Bible, and I thought, which one do I memorize? You know what my attitude was? Fooey on memorizing. And thank God, God was gracious and showed me that that blessed book right there is the perfect Word of God, without error, and it is the final authority. And man, when you see that and you open up that book and you start understanding, that's good. That's what I've been looking for a long time. And thank God for that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize that you did keep your promise. You have kept your promise that the Word of God is without error for today. And if we go to the average Christian bookstore, I can pretty well guess which one is not going to be on the shelf, or the vast majority is not going to definitely be the King James Bible. And we've had some folks where they have to order it special for them. And the sad thing is that even some of the publishers that are claiming they're publishing King James Bibles now are changing words, like Thomas Nelson Publishers. And they're so corrupt, they're claiming it's a King James when it's not. Lord, your word prophesied about these things. Your word did prophesy about it, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And you're the only one that's going to fix it. And Lord, until then, help us to be faithful to your words. Help us to be like Jeremiah, where he said, I did find thy words and eat them. Help us to be like Job, where he said, neither have I gone back from thy commandments, I've esteemed thy words more than my necessary food. Help us to be like the psalmist, where he said, seven times a day do I praise thee for thy righteous judgments. Help us to love this book supremely. Thank you for it and honor you for it. As we tell others about you and your great gospel story. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed with that.